If you take your Bibles and go with me back to James chapter number 1. James chapter number 1, I'm going to finish what I started last week. So some of you may notice that the title is exactly the same. But I'm preaching on how to be on God's side, number 2. How to be on God's side, number 2. Dwayne asked me when I was out in the foyer a while ago if I was going to preach a good sermon or something along. He didn't use those exact terms, but I said, I don't know. I'm just going to preach the word, and ever how it turns out, it turns out. And you know that song that we just sang, Holy Spirit, breathe on me. The only way that any kind of preacher can be effective spiritually is have the Spirit of God upon his life. When I was out in California a couple of weeks ago, a guy by the name of, and his name just went, Scott Pelley, preached. And he preaches all over this country, and in his message he gave an illustration about how one night he was preaching off down the country somewhere, and he got laryngitis and couldn't hardly speak. And so he asked the preacher to come and read his text, and he said for about 5 or 10 minutes I just kind of whispered, and he said when I got through, God fell on that place. I'll never forget one of the sermons that I probably got the most comments from that I've ever preached in my life. Was on a Sunday night, and I was sicker than a dog. I mean, I felt horrible. But I didn't have anybody else to preach for me, and I got sick that afternoon, and I got up and delivered the message that God laid upon my heart, and it was rough, and I know it was rough, but God fell on that place. And you know, that's what we need. We don't need great orators. We don't need great storytellers. They're good to have. But more than anything, we need the power of God and the presence of God to fall. And so let's begin our reading tonight in verse number 19. We read this passage last week. My message is going to be brought from verse number 22 down through verse number 27. The Bible says, wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness. Now, those are big words. It just means get rid of evil and wickedness in your life. And receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word, and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself, and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty, and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but here it is, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deeds. If any man among you seem to be religious, and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is vain. Pure religion and undefiled before God the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction, and to keep him unspotted from the word. Now last week I began dealing with this text, and I dealt with verse number 19 down through verse number 21, and I'm talking about how to be on God's side. And so last week, the first thing that we talked about is that we've got to hear the word of God. He says that in verse number 19, be swift to hear. And then in verse number 21, he talks about not only we're to hear, but we are to receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. And so it's important that we hear the word of God. And then when he talks about be slow to speak and slow to wrath, we've got to be careful not to reject the word of God is really what he's talking about there. Because so many times when we hear the word of God and we read the word of God, it can kind of get on our nerves and our flesh, and it can bring conviction into our lives. And none of us like conviction, but it's something that is needful. But when that conviction comes, we need to repent and make it right with God instead of reject it. That is his whole thing that he's saying in verse 19 and verse number 20. And then so today, we're going to deal with the second thing, is that we are not only to hear the word of God, but we are to what? Do the word of God. He says, be doers of the word and not hearers only. Now, this theme is all through the New Testament. Now, I want us to take a little, like I did last week, I want us to take a little journey through the New Testament and just look at some of these verses in Matthew chapter number 7. Matthew chapter number 7 is the Sermon on the Mount. In verse number 24, if you have a Bible, I want you to turn with me and look at these passages, because it'll mean so much more to you if you read them from your Bible, and then you have a reference point of where you can go back to. Now, here is the passage, verse number 24. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine, and if you're there, and what? And doeth them. So he says that you not only can you got to hear, but you've got to put them into practice. You've got to apply them. You've got to live them out in your life. And Jesus says, if you do that, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon the rock, and the rains descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon the rock. All of us tonight would like to be wise, wouldn't we? Well, the only way that we can be wise, truly wise in this world, is to live out and apply the Word of God into our lives. To live out the Word of God and give us a foundation. Because we're all going to go through difficult times in our life. I used to always tell my church, if the rug has never been pulled out of from under you in your life, just wait a little while, because it will. I was 40 years old before it happened, and I'm glad that I had a foundation of not only hearing the Word of God, but practicing the Word of God. Notice what he says in verse number 26. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, what's that next word? Not. Shall be likened unto what kind of man? A foolish man, which built his house upon the sand, and the rains descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. Jesus says you can hear, but if you don't apply, I did the same thing Brother Chris did on Wednesday night. He says in this text, if you hear the Word of God and you never apply them, then you are like a foolish man. You have no foundation, and when the struggles and the trials of life come into your life, you are going to fall. In Matthew chapter number 12. Matthew chapter number 12, just a few passages over. And this is really kind of an interesting passage. In verse number 46 of Matthew chapter number 12. The Bible says, while he yet talked to the people, behold, his mother and his brethren stood without, desiring to speak with him. Jesus is on the inside teaching and preaching, and his family, his mother and his brethren, are on the outside. Then one said unto him, behold, thy mother and thy brethren stand without, desiring to speak with thee. But he answered and said unto him that told him, who is my mother and who are my brethren? Jesus is asking that question. Verse number 49, and he stretched forth his hand towards his disciples and said, behold, my mother and my brethren. For whosoever shall what? Do the will of my Father which is in heaven, the same is my brother and sister and mother. Jesus was asked, hey, who is your family? And Jesus said, the ones that are my family are the ones that do the will of my Father. Not just hear, but puts into practice the sayings of Jesus. In Matthew chapter number 28. Matthew chapter number 28, we know that this is the Great Commission. We are commanded to go into all the world and to share the gospel. Verse number 19 of Matthew 28, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. What is Jesus saying? I want you to teach my disciples, I want you to teach those that you've won to Jesus, not only to hear the word, but to put it into practice, to do, to carry it out, is what he's saying. Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded. Go with me to John chapter number 13. John chapter number 13. This is the passage where Jesus is washing the disciples' feet. It's just going to be a matter of a few hours before Jesus is going to the cross. And this is one of the last lessons that Jesus is going to teach his disciples. And the lesson that he's teaching here is that we should be servants. We should serve each other and we should serve others. And I won't take time to read it all, but it starts in verse number 4 where Jesus rises from the supper and he goes to each of the disciples. He kneels down and he washes their feet. In verse number 13, he says this, "Ye call me Master and Lord, and ye say well, for so am I. If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, ye also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that ye should do as I have done to you." Now, the example that he's given is not necessarily washing feet. There is a branch of Baptists that is known as foot washing Baptists, and they wash each other's feet. But the ideal, I believe, that he's teaching here is that we should be servants to one another. And he says, hey, I've given you example. I've shown you what you should do, and I want you to put this into practice. In verse number 16, he says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord, neither he that is sent greater than he that sent him. If ye know these things, happy are ye if ye do them." We've got some leaders in our country that if they would put that into practice, it would change. There was a time in our nation where politicians and government officials were elected, and they believed that their job was to serve the people, to help the people. But now all it is to build up their kingdom and to build up their power and all of those things. And it can happen in churches, and it can happen with Christians if we're not careful. We can move away from serving and we can think that we're hot stuff. But Jesus says, hey, the servant is not greater than his Lord, neither is he that is sent greater than he that sent him. If ye know these things, happy are ye if ye do them. In John chapter number 15. This kind of goes along with what Brother Chris was talking about this morning. "These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. This is my commandment, that if ye love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends." Now notice verse number 14. "Ye are my friends if ye what? Do whatsoever I command you." He doesn't say, "You're my friends if you hear." He doesn't say, "You are my friends if you read." He says, "You are my friends if you do, put into practice, carry out," is what that word means, "whatsoever I command you." In Romans chapter number 2. Romans chapter number 2. In verse number 13. Actually, let me begin reading with verse number 11. Romans chapter number 2. It says, "For there is no respect of persons with God. For as many as have sinned without law shall also perish without law, and as many as have sinned in the law shall be judged by the law." Now notice verse number 13. "For not the hearers of the law are just before God." Let that soak in for just a few moments. "For not just the hearers are not just before God, but the doers of the law shall be justified." How many people have heard a gospel presentation and they felt convicted, but yet they fail to put into practice what Romans 10 and verse number 13 says, "For whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved." You see, it's not enough just to hear. Coming to church on a Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night, and coming to Sunday school and listening to preaching during the week, all of those things are really beneficial and all of those things are good, and we should want to do those things. But if we never put what we hear into practice, then it's not a good thing. Go with me now, and this will be the last one. 1 John chapter number 3. 1 John chapter number 3. Towards the end of the Bible. Begin reading with verse number 11. "For this is the message that ye heard from the beginning, that we should love one another." I'm sorry, verse number 7. "Little children, let no man deceive you. He that," what's that word if you're there? "Doeth righteousness is" what? "Righteous." That makes sense, doesn't it? In order for me to be righteous, I have to practice righteousness. I have to live out righteousness in my life, as he says, "even as he is righteous." We know Jesus is holy. Why? Because he lived out holiness. He was holy and he was righteous. In verse number 8, he says, "He that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifest, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin, for his sin remaineth in him, and he cannot sin, because he is born of God." Now notice verse number 10. "In this the children of God are manifest." That word manifest means open or revealed, is what it means. "And the children of the devil. Whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God, neither he that loveth not his brother." You see, Jesus says, if you don't practice righteousness, if you don't live out righteousness in your life, then you are not of God. Matter of fact, he would say in verse number 10 that they are the children of the devil. Who are the children of God? Verse number 7, those that doeth righteous. In verse number 12, he is going to give an illustration of that. He says, "Not as Cain, who was of that wicked one, and slew his brother, and wherefore slew he him? Because his own works were evil, and his brother's righteous." What he's saying, Cain didn't practice righteousness. Cain did not follow righteousness. Cain became envious in anger at his brother, and he killed him, proving that he was not of God, that he was of Satan, the wicked one. But what did Abel do? Abel offered the sacrifice that God demanded. He brought a lamb and he shed blood. It was acceptable to God. And Abel, because he practiced righteousness, was known as a child of God. Now that's just a small sampling. We could turn to many more passages through the New Testament, but it's a constant theme over and over and over in the New Testament that we are not just to be hearers of the Word of God, but we are to be doers. We are to put into practice what we read and what we study and what we hear. And James is saying, "Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear." But then he goes on, he says, "But I want you to be doers of the Word and not hearers only." Jesus would say it this way, "By your fruits ye shall know them." By your fruits, by what you do, by what you practice. Hey, people ought to be able to follow you around for a day or two, a week, and say, "You know what? Hey, that's a Christian." By the way we treat one another, by the way that we take care of our business, by the way that we relate to our family. Hey, people ought to be able to see what we do and say, "Hey, there is someone that is attached to God, that is a child of God." Many years ago, on a Sunday morning, I had preached and the power of God had come down on that service. And there was a couple in the service back in Coleman, and this couple had been in church for a fairly good while. And that morning they got under conviction. They came to the altar and just prayed, just them as a couple. And after those service, they wanted to meet with me in my office. And so I said, "Okay." And so we met together, and here is what they asked me. "Brother David, how can we get close to the Lord?" Well, you know, not wanting to hurt their feelings or anything, I said, "Well, you know, you got to pray. You know, you got to read your Bible and you got to study the Word of God. And you know, you need to come to church. And you know, you probably need to pray with one another." I hem-hawed for a little while, but I knew what the root of the problem was. The root of the problem was is they was living together outside of wedlock. Now, I know in a world today that is common. It's common with everybody, Christians and non-Christians. Hey, it's no big deal to live together outside of wedlock, but it is still a sin in the Bible. And as long as you're living in sin, you cannot draw closer to God. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So here is what I said after a while of me trying to be nice and not wanting to hurt their feelings. I said, let's get right down to the nitty-gritty. One of you's got to move out. And then you've got to start planning a wedding. And once you get married, then you can start the process of drawing close to God, and He will draw close to you. The conversation was over. They got up out of my office and boom, out the door they went. I wasn't their favorite person for a long time. But was it true? It's true. You don't have to agree with it. It's true. It's true. And see, that's what's happening in the world today. We have more preaching than we've ever had in our lives. Man, you can go home tonight and you can listen to preaching all night long if you want to. If you like preaching, you can come and find me, and I'll give you a lot of preachers that you need to listen to. And you can come Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, and all those things are good. But my friends, listen to me. If we don't ever put it into practice, if we don't ever live out the Word of God, then what good does it do? He says, hey, be quick to hear, but not only that, but be quick to be a doer. Right quickly, and my time is almost gone, I want to give you five things that James tells us what a doer of the Word will look like. A person that is living out the Word of God, he will have these characteristics. Number one, he will not be self-deceived. A doer of the word will not be self-deceived. Notice verse number 22, but be ye doers of the word and not hearers only. Now notice this, deceiving your own selves. So here's what James is saying is that you hear the word of God, but you refuse to put it into practice. You don't have to worry about lying to anybody else. You are deceiving and you are lying to yourself. That's the worst kind of deception there is, isn't it? It's one thing when somebody else tries to deceive you. It's one thing when somebody else tries to lie to you. But it's another thing when you do it to your own self. Our world is full of people that is living in self-deception. I'm amazed at this gender confusion. I don't understand it. I never heard such a thing until the last two or three years when I was growing up. I never heard of this thing. It's a new phenomenon, I guess. But many people are confused. But you have to deceive yourself in order to be confused, because the Bible says God created. And that's not hard, is it? Some of these social media posts, they say that there's 100 different genders that you can proclaim yourself to be. If you believe that garbage, you're self-deceived. I don't want to hurt your feelings. I'm sorry if your feelings are hurt. But I'm telling you, it is clear. You can look in the animal kingdom. You don't have that. It's clear in the animal kingdom. There's male and there's females. And in the human kingdom, there is males and there's females. And if you believe anything else, you are self-deceived. Can I tell you, this world is not billions of years of age old? It's not uncommon every week on a news cycle that you can read a story where, oh, look, this we found a bone that's 25 billion years old or 10 million years old. If you believe that garbage, you're self-deceived. Because the Bible says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And so someone that puts the Word of God into practice, James is saying someone that lives out the Word of God, they are not going to be a person that is self-deceived and lie to themselves about things. The second thing is, or let me go on in verse number 23 and verse number 24, he gives an illustration. He says, for any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is likened to a man beholding his natural face in the glass, for he beholdeth himself, and he goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. Every Sunday morning, we Marco Polo with the children. Sometimes all of them get on there, and other times only one of them. Most of the time it's my daughter that is in Florida. And so most of the time when she's on Marco Polo, we say, hey, happy Sunday and all that stuff. They're walking to church. And my grandson, which is, what is he, seven? He's nine? Whew. Got a grandson, 9 years old. So he's walking, and he's got a full head of hair. It's not like me. Well, you know how little boys, when they get up in the morning, it's all over the place. And usually she makes him comb his hair because he usually looks really neat. But I guess this morning he didn't want to. And his hair is really all messed up. He's got morning hair. Now, I'm sure he went to the mirror. I'm sure, I know Andrea, I'm sure she made him go to the mirror. And Zane went to the mirror and he saw his hair all messed up. He knew that he needed to comb it or put something on it so to straighten it out, but he thought, I ain't doing that. I'm going to church like I am today. But it's the same thing with us. We get into the Word of God, and the Word of God is like a mirror and exposes sin and exposes things in our lives that God wants us to change. And when we're reading the Word of God, we see those things, but we close the Bible and go on about our business and not make any changes. That's the illustration that he's saying. Hey, the Word of God is like a mirror. And when you see those things, you can either change them or leave them the same. A doer of the Word of God will be blessed in his deed. Notice verse number 25. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. That means that everything you do, you're going to have the favor and the joy of God. When I was thinking about this the other day, I wrote down the number of jobs that I've had in my life, and I've had 7 jobs in my life. I guess I've had 8. And almost all of them have been menial, what our society would say, menial jobs. My first job when I was in high school, I worked in a full-service service station. How many people remember a full-service service station? We went out there, we pumped gas, we checked tires, and we washed cars, and we changed oil, and we did all of that stuff. And I did that from the time I was a sophomore in high school until I was about 26 years of age. While I was doing that, I mowed grass. Every night I'd get off work and I'd mow grass till dark. And I did that till I was about 26 years of age. And then I surrendered to the ministry. And when I was in Baptist Bible College, I cleaned a grocery store at night with a mop. That's when, if you watch me, I've got it down, because for 3.5 years I knew how to wop that mop, you know, and stuff. But hey, I did that. And then when I came back to the Central Baptist Church in Coleman, I was just part-time for a little while, and I worked at night cleaning the school at night. And then I pastored for 10 years, and then when I came up here, I worked at a convenience store for a little while, and now I have been here. But as I was thinking about it, I enjoyed all of it. There wasn't any of that I thought that I was degraded doing. There wasn't any of that I thought where I would have thought, man, I'm too good to be doing this. I didn't hate any of it. I liked all of it. Matter of fact, if there was a full service station today, I would like to go back and work in those things. I enjoyed pumping gas, and we would wash windshields with the bug sponge and wipe them with the chamois. I liked that. I liked mowing the grass. I liked all of that stuff. Do you know why I had joy in that? Because I tried to be a doer of the Word. And because I was a doer of the Word, then God says, I'm going to bless you in your deed. Deuteronomy 28, go back to that passage. I think all of us need to read this passage from time to time. Boy, it's so encouraging. It's so uplifting. Now, I know this passage was given to the nation of Israel. It was not a promise necessarily given to us, but the principles apply to you and I tonight. Notice what God says in Deuteronomy 28. And it shall come to pass that if thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord, to observe and to, get this word, do all his commandments, which I command thee this day, that the Lord thy God will set thee on high above all nations of the earth. Now here it is. And these blessings shall come on thee and overtake thee if thou shalt hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God. Blessed shalt thou be in the city, and blessed shalt thou be in the field. You can go on and read those. He's talking about, hey, everything that you do, if you'll observe and if you will do, if you will apply the Word of God to your life, God says this, I'm going to bless you whether you want me to or not. I don't know about you, but I want to be blessed. And you know what I found in my life? The more that I live out the Word of God, the more that I apply the Word of God to my life, then the more blessed that I am. He also says this. In verse number 15, but it shall come to pass, if thou wilt not hearken unto the voice of the Lord, to observe to do all his commandments and his statutes which I command thee this day, that all these curses shall come upon thee and overtake thee. And he talks about curse it here and curse it there. He's saying, you know what, if you don't apply the Word of God, and if you don't live out the Word of God, if you're not a doer of the Word of God, then the opposite of blessing is going to happen in your life. I can't tell you how many people I've had in my office, not here because people go to Brother Chris, but the 10 years that I pastored, I can't tell you how many moms and dads and just all kinds of people come to my office, heartbroken, their life in a mess. I'd say, you know what? You've been praying? No, I don't pray anymore. You attending church regularly? No, I don't attend church regularly. Hey, you applying the principles of the Word of God to your life? No, I'm not doing that. You know that it's true. When you live out the principles of the Word of God, it just seems like things fall into place. It doesn't mean that you're not going to have some difficulties. You will, but life will just be so much easier when you fall into place. And James is saying, you know what? A doer of the Word of God will be blessed in his deeds. And then you go back to the book of James, and the next one, he is going to tell us that a doer of the Word of God will control his tongue. In verse number 26 of that text, James, let me get right back there to you. In James 1, in verse number 26, the Bible says, if any man among you seem or have an appearance, that's what that word means, be religious, and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is vain. One of the hardest things that I have to do is control my tongue. And I have to control the way I say things. Because all my life I've been told, it's not what you say, it's how you say it. See, I think I just like people that just go through the front door. Just say it. I like that in individuals. I like people that I don't have to wonder what they're saying and figure out if they like me or if they don't like me. I just like people, just say it and I'll deal with it and we can do it. I've always got along with people that nobody else could get along with because they just spoke their mind. But the vast majority of the population is that you've got to be careful, not only what you say, but you've got to be able to say it in the right tone and in the right way. And it's always got me in trouble. And I would never hurt anybody intentionally, but I like to cut up. I like to enjoy. I like to rib people. And sometimes people don't want to be ribbed. And if I'm not careful, I've said something and now they're all blown up and they're mad and everybody else is mad. And I think, oh, I wished I wouldn't have done that, but I did. Here he's saying a doer of the Word of God will control his tongue. And then in the last verse, 26, and we got to go, he says, pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and the widows in their affliction. A doer of the Word of God will help those that can do nothing for them. We live in a world today where most people will help people if they think they're going to get something back. Hey, I'll do something for you. But if I do something for you, I'm going to want something back somewhere down the line. But in the text, James says, here's what pure religion and undefiled religion is that you will help widows and the poor in their affliction. Then the last one is this, that we will be unspotted before the world. That word unspotted means uncontaminated or uncorrupt. Boy, it's hard to do that in this world, isn't it? As I've gotten older, I like to watch TV. And most of the shows that I like to watch, a Christian should not be watching. And I've turned a lot of them off. But you know what? If you're not careful, the first time they start cussing at you and everything else and you see a bunch of stuff, it rubs you the wrong way, but then you watch it again, and you watch it again, and you watch it again, and before long it doesn't bother you, corrupted. It's like language. I was raised in a home that my dad was, he was kind of a, he wasn't a dirty cusser, but he was an old-time cusser. You know how the old guys were. And you know, I went to, when I was in high school, I was around a bunch of boys. You know, man, that was the way to talk. And then my first job that I had at that service station, I loved old Felbert, but he couldn't say three words without two of them being a cuss word. Well, I'm 18, 19 years of age, you know, and man, I want to fit in. And so, man, that's just the way I talked. When I said three words, three of them were cuss words. I didn't leave one of them out. All of them were cuss words. But you know, I can tell you the day. I can tell you, and you've heard me say this, I can tell you exactly where I was when I decided, you know what? I need to be a doer of the word. I need to quit talking like that. It took me a few years, but for the most, 99.999%, I've done it. But you know what? I let the world corrupt me. And it does us that way. How can we be uncorrupted by the world? Is by putting the word of God into practice. I want to give you one last verse, and I want you to turn there. Psalms 19, and then I'm done. Psalms 19. Boy, this is a great verse. You ought to underline it and highlight it and keep it close to you. Memorize it. Psalms 19. Verse number 10. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold, sweeter also than honey and the honeycombs. Would you rather have the word of God or a lot of change and jingle in your pocket? I hope you'd choose the word of God. That's what he's saying. But notice verse number 11. Moreover, by them is the servant warned. And here it is. And in keeping of them, there is a little bit of reward. Is that what it says? And in keeping them, there is great rewards. I like rewards, don't you? Man, I want to hear God say, well done, thy good and faithful servant. You know how I can hear that? By applying what I hear and what I read and putting it into practice in my life. Lord, we love you tonight and we're grateful for you this word. We're grateful that we can pick up the Bible any time of day or night and read what you have for us. And God, I'm grateful to be a part of a church that loves the word, that the word of God is preached, that we're encouraged to read the word and we're encouraged to live out the word. And God, tonight maybe that there might be those that are here tonight and they hear the word, they read the word, but very rarely do they stop and think, do I need to put this into practice? God, I pray that tonight before we leave this place, we'll all determine in our hearts, I'm applying what I've heard today in my life. God, I pray that you'd move amongst us tonight. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. Would you stand with us tonight, please? Martha is going to play through a verse of invitation. If God's spoken to you, you come.